there. They're all living the devil may care. Well, I'm just a devil with a lot of despair. So viva Las Vegas! Viva!
Thank you, Wayne Newton, for that fabulous intro. You're listening to Katz with the Dish. This is John Katzalamidis. I write for the Greenspun Media Group. The column is the Katz Report. I write for the Las Vegas Sun, Las Vegas Weekly, and a new publication we're putting out called The Sunday, which is comes out on The Sunday every week at a newsstand near you. Joining me, as always, as is customary, prettying up the studio once more is Tricia McCrone. Trish?
You're so sweet. Thank you very much.
Play us a solo, will you?
What can I talk about? Okay, there's so much that has happened.
Yes.
Like, literally, really cool things. And I have to say, I had a really funny day on Sunday before we get into the weekend and what else happened this weekend. Wayne Newton was asked to go and present because he was the first winner of the Arabian Horse Breeder Award, whatever it was,
right,
that was ever done here. We do every April at the South Point, there's an Arabian Horse Show, which mm-hmm. is pretty cool because it's a very elite group of people
that own, you know,
Kuwait, a lot of Kuwaiti princes, like, mm-hmm. which, you know. Like, Kuwait a minute. There's a lot of them. So,
all Kuwait.
So, exactly. So, there's, you know, so there's, it's kind of like the creme de la creme of, you know, like, of horse people. And it's literally millions and millions and millions of dollars are spent on these horses. And so they asked Wayne to come in and do the, to present it to the recipient this year. And then also, it turns out friends of ours that are a Kuwaiti sheikh, I learned that you don't say sheikh, you say sheikh. A Kuwaiti sheikh, his, they won and they asked Wayne to have their horse take the victory lap, like for him to lead the horse around in the victory lap, which is very, very cool. Even though it's not Wayne's horse, they asked him to do the victory lap with the horse. So it was, but who was the host of the whole event? James Vaughn.
From Chippendales.
From Chippendales and The Amazing Race. One of my favorite people mm-hmm. on the planet and probably one of the most gorgeous people on the planet. So I got to spend the day with James. So one of our
James
former
is a good man,
guests.
Yeah.
And it was nice. It was fun.
It's a great treatment of James. I've told him this to his face. He needs to stay on their team.
James, he is lovely.
My team's having enough issues as it is. We don't need you over on our team. You stay on your team. I'll stay on this team.
My mom, like, I swear to God, my mom was like, oh, he's so perfect. My mom is such a Speaking of my mom was kind of our date. Your date, our date on Friday night for Living and John.
Yeah, she was with us. Marilyn was at the premiere, the VIP media night for Olivia Newton-John over at the Flamingo, the Donnie and Marie showroom, they're calling it now. And great night, huh?
I have to tell you that, I mean, I think every little girl of a certain age group wanted to be Sandy from Greece. I think I saw it in the movie theater 24 times. I think that was my record for seeing a movie in the theater. That and Purple Rain were my ones that I saw so many times. That as a kid, like, I just remember going and staying for next shows, like hiding in the bathroom and staying for the second show. You know, like, of course I never did that because that's illegal, but yes, it did. So anyway, so that we all loved that. We all wanted to be Olivia Newton-John, and her show is such a feel good show.
Mm-hmm.
It's not huge production. It's her and her amazing band. It's not lip syncing. It's all live, and it is. As I said, I'm like, forget Britney. You want to like sing and be happy. Olivia is genuine entertainment.
Yeah, she is. And you know, you do realize you know why she's a star. The moment she comes out, you know, she sings a lot of songs. Everything you recognize.
Yeah, there's one song I didn't know.
The way she controls her. There was one later song on one of her later releases.
Yeah, it was about when she had breast cancer, that type of thing. I wasn't familiar with that one. Yeah,
that's exactly right.
Other than that, we sang every word to every song.
You did.
And my mom did. Yes. My mom and I sang every word to every song. Yeah. So Katz may have to see it again because I don't think he heard Olivia once.
I got Olivia in stereo and harmony, which is not a bad thing. I mean, it's a tribute that somebody can sit in an audience and sing the songs word for word. You know, the only other time I won't say the only other, but the most recent time that that has happened to me in a show was at Garth Brooks.
Yeah.
Where everybody knew, you know, he sings a lot of snippets and he sings a lot of covers and a lot of material from other people. But his songs, when he goes into the stretch of his songs, everybody knows every word.
Because he's got friends in low places.
Yeah, he does. And he coined the phrase. And it was a terrific night. And it's just great to have Olivia Newton-John in play now. We've got a number of superstars already. It's great to have her.
A great thing for the city,
the city's image, our business, our artistic merit, all that. So And
congrats to Mike Caprio as well.
Yeah, Mike
our friend Michael Caprio, who does the PR for it. Yep. And, you know, and again, it's a wonderful.
Congratulations to Mike, who does get paid.
It's a room that has real entertainment. It has true pros. When you go Donnie Marie and Olivia Newton-John, it's people that know what they're doing, that are true entertainers, and it's refreshing to see.
Another plug quick, the Tempest at Symphony Park that is
co-produced by
Teller. Awesome. So with that, we're going to stay on the arts theme. Up next with us is going to be Lisa Marie Smith, who's a singer for Pin Up at the Stratosphere, but first it's Josh Bell with Movies, so stick around. I know we will.
Welcome. We're glad you're here.
Jesus Christ. Will?
You surprised to see me, Joseph?
That depends.
On what?
Can you prove you're self-aware?
That's a difficult question, Dr. Tiger. Can you prove that you are?
That's Johnny Depp as scientist Will Castor in the sci-fi thriller Transcendence. I'm Josh Bell, film critic for Las Vegas Weekly, with a look at what's new in theaters this week. In Transcendence, Will decides to upload his consciousness into a computer before he dies, and soon he begins expanding his powers at a rapid rate. There are plenty of questionable leaps of logic in the movie's story, which gets more implausible as Will's schemes become increasingly grandiose. Transcendence isn't nearly as smart as it first appears to be, peddling familiar anti-technology talking points that could have been lifted from a movie 20 years earlier. I give Transcendence 2 stars out of 5. Also opening this week in limited release is Dom Hemingway, starring Jude Law as the foul-mouthed title character.
Vicky, I'm a mess.
Look at me. I'm trying not to.
I'm pathetic. I don't belong here. I'm a monster. I'm a dinosaur.
Don't forget nudist, Dom. Don't forget that.
I'll be thrown away. Sent to leper colony. Forgotten about. Left to rot with a maggot.
Jesus, Dom, you've got to get control of yourself.
Law's committed performance is the biggest selling point for this inconsistent movie, which starts out as a vulgar crime comedy before detouring into a sometimes sentimental character study. It's fun to marvel at Dom, the irrepressible scumbag, but there isn't much fun in his disingenuous struggle to be a better person. I give Dom Hemingway 3 stars out of 5. That's a look at what's new in theaters this week. Check out my reviews in Las Vegas Weekly and my blog at joshbellhateseverything.com.
Welcome back. Sitting with us now is a performer in the stage show Pinup at the Stratosphere Hotel Casino. The show stars 2011 Playboy Playmate of the Year Claire Sinclair and recently celebrated its first anniversary not long ago, just in March. With us now is the woman who's the singer in that show, pulling full-time duty, Lisa Marie Smith. Thanks for joining us, Lisa Marie Smith.
How are you?
Named for Lisa Marie Presley.
I was just about to say, were you named for Lisa Marie Presley?
No, I wasn't.
I think you were.
I think
you're
the story
in Vegas
would
now.
Be cooler.
Yes, you are.
I think the story
Let's
would be cooler.
Just change it.
I believe that. Well, we got your mom on the phone. Let's get.
Yes, exactly. Priscilla.
No, I don't. I guess every single person always asks me if I was named after her, and I guess the cool story would be yes, I was.
Yes.
But
mm-hmm.
No.
No.
Friends, mom's friend in high school.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So these
she
are...
was named after Lisa Marie Presley.
There's one single Lisa Marie in this equation. It's Lisa Marie Presley.
Oh, dear.
So how are you doing? We had, as I mentioned in the intro there, the show turned a year old.
It did.
It was in March, was it not?
It was in March.
March.
Yep.
And now it's April.
So there were a number of changes that were enacted in the run-up to your year anniversary. And how did that affect you, first of all? You're singing different numbers.
It actually affected me quite a lot. I started singing a little more of the sultry blues numbers and kind of more subdued stuff, sexier stuff.
Because in the beginning, it was, I know at the press night, original press night, that it was Ann Martinez, and she was singing a lot of like upbeat, like
quirky,
big band,
yep.
You know what I mean? Like that kind of a stuff. So.
Exactly. Yeah, they wanted to change
it. Do you know why that was?
I don't know. I think they just wanted a little more of a sensual feel to the show. I think they thought it was getting a little too
Happy?
Yeah.
Well, campy.
Yeah, kind of campy. They wanted it to be a little more burlesque and, like, sultry is the word I keep using. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So they took out Girl on Fire and they put Fever in.
You don't even have to change the costumes.
That's exactly. That's the pole number.
Yeah, that's Claudia's pole number. And she changed her choreography to be a little more sensual, too, and it's beautiful.
Yeah, she's amazing. She's Claudia incredible. Mitra.
Yeah. Was she the one that was in Fantasy?
She was in Vegas, the show, and Peep Show.
And Peep Show.
The brunette. Mm-hmm. Brunette dancer. She's a later addition to the, I think she's been in for a few months, Claudia. She's also in BBR.
Mm-hmm. Oh, gotcha.
Yeah. And then the other numbers that they changed were they took out California Girls, and they put in the Hawaiian number that you saw.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not singing in that one. So I thought I was getting a buy. I thought I was going to go from 13 songs to 12. But then they added in Claire's burlesque song, the Sugar in My Bowl, which is super, I don't know, like sultry and just kind
of that's her,
subdued.
Probably her best number now. Yeah. And that one.
Absolutely.
Tell me about, you sing 13 songs a night.
Yeah.
Five nights a week.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's a lot.
It is. Yeah, it
is. I mean, it is a lot of singing.
I think that they're starting to play to my strengths now, though. Instead of doing the big, brassy, like big band stuff like they were saying, they're kind of starting to play to things that are easier for me to sing. So I don't go in every night and go, oh, my God, I'm going to have to blow for 13 songs every single night. It's kind of like a little bit more, you know, relaxed, and then I get to wail for a little bit and then relax again and then wail for a little bit. So I'm not vocally fatigued anymore. Mm-hmm. I used to be. You know, at the end of the week, I was like, God, you know.
So now, how did this come about, you getting into pinup?
It's actually kind of a crazy story. I've been here since I graduated college. I graduated from the Boston Conservatory of Music, but I've lived here since I was like 11. So I grew up here. I went to LVA, performing arts. I went to college, you know, in Boston, came back. I didn't work for a year. I did Bevertainment at the Rio.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I love that. Yeah.
Were you a character or just a
I was the singer like that stood on top of
it. I probably have seen you.
Probably.
Because mom likes to gamble at the Rio. Let's just say that. So I feel sorry because you've got like cranky gamblers, because most of the time they're losing.
Oh my God.
And they're sitting there drinking and you're working your booty off. I was just about to say better. You're working your booty off, and it's like, and
no one pays
no
attention.
No one pays attention. So it's so funny. I always stop gambling, and I'll have my Diet Coke or, you know, like my coffee, whatever I drink, or my tea, because I, you know, I'm usually driving, and I'm during the day, and I, you know, since college, I really don't day drink.
Flask of vodka.
Exactly. So I'm sitting there, and all of like, I'm literally like watching you guys. I'm like, yeah,
you're
like,
the soul clapper.
I'm the soul clapper.
We got those.
You know what I mean? Like, you guys work, you really do work your tails off. And it's like, and nobody cares.
No, like they would have me, and it's not even easy songs too.
They
would be like, I'd be the sole white girl singing Aretha Franklin every night, eight times a night. And they'd be like, what are you doing?
And this is even during the day.
The
Yeah.
Wow. It was crazy.
Wow.
But the money was really great. And
good. That's good to know. I'm glad the money's great, because you guys get not a lot of of reward for that. So at least the money's good. That makes me feel better about the whole situation.
Tip heavy or salary?
No one tips.
No, it's crazy tip heavy.
Really?
Yeah. It's not as tip heavy as it used to be back in the day when it was like elite. When Bevertainers were elite, they had thousands of people audition and then only a couple slots, and they were pulling in $700 a night. You know,
really?
Back in the day.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Wow.
But not anymore. Now it's like half that. But still, even half that on a swing shift for someone fresh out of college, I bought my car, a fancy kind of car, and, you know, my furniture. And, you know, it was a good starting off place for me. So, like, going back to what you asked about how I got into it, finished Bevertainment, didn't work for 8 months straight. I, like, would gig once every 3 weeks or whatever and trying to get myself in. But, Show in the Sky closed, Peep Show closed, like all these things started closing that I was slowly starting to get into, and I wasn't working, so I left on a ship and I went to the Mediterranean and Africa for 6 months, and it was crazy because I had never even left the country before.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
I saw, I got to go into the pyramids in Egypt the day before they closed it to American port. Like ships and stuff, which is really cool.
Mm-hmm.
Dangerous.
I was just about to say, you know, if we're closing it down, there's a reason.
Yeah, so. It was, I mean, it was one of those experiences where I'm really glad I got to see it, but it made me appreciate what we have, and it made me appreciate the fact that I'm going to go once and I'm never going to go back. Like, I saw it, I took some great photos, and that was it.
Like,
now, the cruise itself, was it just, was it a vacation or were you performing?
Oh, no, I performed. Yeah. I was the, I was the singer-dancer for all inaugural shows for Holland America, which means like five brand new shows that they put.
Holland America's nice.
They put some crazy good productions in. Yeah. They have like a Cirque-esque show now. Stiletto Entertainment does it. And I got called in with like 2 weeks' notice and they said, can you be gone for 11 months? And I was like, no, I couldn't be gone for 11 months with 2 weeks' notice. I didn't even have a passport yet. So I said I would do half the contract. I did. I got back. And then the day I got back, I found out that Pinup was having auditions the next day.
Wow.
And didn't have any material, but I already knew a lot of the songs in the show. So I just went and got a call back and did my call back.
I mean, I always say, like, people are like, oh, I hear about auditions. Well, I feel like I'm plugged into the community a little bit, and I have no idea when people are auditioning for something. Where do singers or dancers, where do they find this out? Is there like casting call type of a website, or how does that come up? Like, how do you know about it?
There's like a bunch of different ways. There's VegasAuditions.com, which I have an account with, and a lot of people post, you know, their stuff there. I don't know if Pinup posted on Vegas Auditions. I found out about it through a mutual friend. Actually, a teacher of mine from Las Vegas Academy, Jerry Bourne. He now is like the principal of a magnet school or charter school here. But he's friends, like he knows the director of our show. And so it was kind of like a third triangle
thing. A word of mouth thing.
Yeah, he goes, I heard that, you know, the singer's leaving. And I knew Anne. Anne was a friend of mine from previously. And so I contacted her. I was like, oh, I didn't know you were heading out. And she was like, yeah. So I audition, and the audition process is kind of funny. That particular process was different than usual. Usually you go into like a big room and you don't have a microphone and you kind of just stand in this huge empty theater or like a very small room. It's either one of the two. There's no like middle ground with like the casting team. This situation was you actually got to go to the theater that you were going to be performing in if you were hired. So I went to the Stratosphere Theater. I had a microphone, which was really cool, and they put the backing track of the song I was singing into the house.
Wow.
So I had like a...
So it's actually like what you would be doing on stage.
Exactly.
Which is very smart for them to see how you carry in the room.
So who are you singing to? To Drew and Chris?
Yeah, I was singing to just Drew,
and
Drew and Chris.
Chris
Drew
Townsend.
Deacon Stanzo and Chris Townsend, the entertainment
That's
director.
It.
Yeah, that was it. And
we love Chris Townsend, by the way.
He's awesome.
I love him. He is one of my favorite people in town. He makes me smile.
Yeah, he's a very, very good player.
He's super, the cool thing about Chris is that he's just, he tells it like it is.
Yeah, he's not like, I hate to say it, like a suit type of a thing. Like he's kind of like just one of those, just like one of you, like a good people, like, you know, good person. Like, you know, even though he's the boss, he's kind of very, he's very relatable, I guess.
Yeah, and he has an open door policy, and anything that you tell him that you want to keep private, he doesn't say.
Mm-hmm. He's a good guy, like Chris.
And he actually used to be a drummer, too.
Yeah, he's grown to a number of bands.
So anyway, when after the audition process or whatever, I didn't hear from them for a week, and I was bummed. I was like, crap, like I thought I did a really good job. And sometimes, you know, when you know, like it's, you just have a good feeling that it's going to work out in your favor. And they had an interview process afterwards, too. They wanted to chat with you for, I chatted with them for like 25 minutes after my callback.
What did they ask you?
They asked me like my experience, and they asked me what I was interested in becoming in this city, because they said that eventually they wanted another face for the show. Mm-hmm. And they're actually working on that right now. And I said that that's something I really want to be a part of. And we clicked. We had the same goals in mind, and we had the same, I guess, idea about what the show was going to be and what I wanted to be a part of it for. Mm-hmm. And I didn't hear from them for a week, and I didn't think I got it, and I was really bummed. And then I got an email from Drew that morning, like the seventh day. Hey, can you come in today? And I was like, sure, I'll be there in like an hour. When do you want me? And I was like, slightly desperate. And I like ran in there and thinking, he said something like, we want to talk to you about some opportunities. And I was like, what does that mean? And so when, you know, as a performer, there's so many different scenarios. You could be a swing. You could be a vacation swing. You could be a seasonal part. You can come in for just a month before they find
someone.
Or he's
the entertainment director. You could be going in the lounge.
Whatever it may be. So I drove down there. My head was spinning. I walk in and they were like, would you like to start tomorrow? And
wow.
I was like, yes. So
did you know the show to an acceptable degree by then, the time you walked in? So you had a day to...
Oh, no. Like,
start rehearsing tomorrow.
Yeah.
I was going to say, my gosh.
Uh-uh. I think
session.
No, I think I had 2.5 weeks.
Okay.
So did you work with Anne?
I never worked with Anne. I followed her around backstage on her final night, I think. The stage is really small backstage.
So just where you go for costume changes.
Exactly.
And blah, blah. So you knew, like, behind the scenes, what she does and how fast she does it.
Yeah, and she'd be like, make sure you hand the microphone to this person, not this person, and you have to go over here. So yeah, she kind of showed me the ropes or whatever. And then my first two nights, Savannah Smith and I did half and half of the show. Since it's 13 songs, they didn't want to throw it on all at once if they didn't have to. So I was nervous. It was one of those situations where I was like, I'm here. I'm finally a singer.
So basically, within 2 years of, like, 2 years of getting out of college, about 2 years, you landed a lead singing role in a show.
Yeah.
That's pretty amazing. Do you know how many people, like, literally that try their whole life and never get it?
Yeah.
So, wait, are you even old enough to be in the...
I'm 25.
Drinking?
Yeah.
Oh, you are? Okay, sorry. I was like...
I look
16.
Didn't you?
Yeah, in December.
I was about to say, are you 21 yet?
Mike, you know, when it was known that you were going to be the person in the show, a lot of us, and I cover entertainment pretty regularly. I was like, I don't know who this is. And most of the top women who were auditioning for the show the first time around, or in this instance, were pretty well known around Las Vegas. You mentioned one of them, Savannah.
Yeah.
You know, Anne's not been here
long.
Now,
is Savannah still doing Swing?
She's doing a show April 26th, I think.
I think so. Right? Yeah. I think she's going to be coming in and doing a night for me on the 26th of April.
So you have all these great singers, and here comes Lisa Marie Smith off the Dealer-Tainer or the Bevertainer platform at the Rio. I mean, does it kind of blow your mind that you were able to win in the face of all that? I mean, there's some very good singers, as we all know.
Yeah, I was taking a walk yesterday in a park up where I live, and I was actually talking about this with someone, and I was saying, like, I appreciate – this is going to sound super cheesy, but there's so few spots – in entertainment, especially here, especially in this day and age with, you know, the cuts, the financial cuts that are happening. And this is a job for us. So it's not just playtime. Mm-hmm. And so I'm hashtag blessed.
Yeah, there you go.
I hate saying that.
No. Yeah. You know what? I mean, it is the truth. And it's good that, I mean, and I think it's refreshing because, you know, with this town and stuff like that, you can get jaded very fast.
Exactly.
And the fact that it's refreshing to someone to appreciate but you have the talent to back it up, most importantly, but that, you know, even there's a lot of people with talent that don't get the opportunity that you have. And so it's wonderful that you are hashtag blessed.
Well, you're blessed with a lot of aptitude, and you've obviously worked on what you've been born with
to develop that.
I mean, what you do is very difficult. I'm not just saying that. I know this. To dance and sing,
oh my gosh,
and to sing in that type of show with a lot of variety, and to sing in front of that band, a live band that roars.
They're incredible. Dave Perico and company are amazing.
Those guys are great. David is a friend of mine, and there's nobody better at putting on that type of writing the charts and displaying music as he is.
Yeah.
Can you talk about what it's like to be in front of those guys every night?
Because
I know that's an exhilarating thing.
It is. I actually just recently had in-ears put in, which is like
the monitors.
Well, I was singing with monitors before. And usually when singers sing with bands that are that loud or big, like especially brass instruments, you have those ears that they're like little buds that you put in your ears. And
they act as your monitors.
Exactly. And
they help prevent too much volume from coming into your ears,
You can hardly hear anything surrounding you other than what you need to.
Equally important, I would think, yeah.
It's super important. Before, I'm usually really good at pitch. Like, as a singer, I have pretty good pitch recognition and stuff, and I was struggling. I would go out there every night, and I would feel like I was, you know, my ears were plugged, and I was just guessing a lot of the time what I was singing. So singing in front of them was difficult because I didn't have the necessary tools that I needed, like, for me individually. So I just got ears, and my performance and my confidence and my rapport with the band has skyrocketed. I feel like I'm a completely different singer now, which is awesome.
I have a question about that because I can only obviously, I have a close relationship with Wayne Newton, and I know that there was a time when he still uses the monitors. And so he was like, I'm going to go ahead and switch to the ears because it's better, blah, blah, blah. But because it's not a production environment, he's very much...
He's personal.
People say, I mean, no matter what, if you like him or not, he works the room like nobody's business. And he does. Like, he has that factor. And he said that when he had the ears in, he felt closed off from the audience that he and he even tried doing one and not one, like, you know, that it's kind of, and I guess he's been performing in Vegas for 50 years, so it's a big change
exactly
to have to all of a sudden switch to your monitors are one place and now they're somewhere else. But he said that he felt a disconnect from the audience that for him he couldn't do, so he still has the giant monitors down front. Did you feel that disconnect from the audience?
Oh yeah, that's like the one struggle that I'm still trying to overcome. I really like when I'm singing to hear someone go woo,
yeah,
or
it's usually me.
Probably.
Yeah. Well, he'll just rush the stage so you can see him coming at you.
He hasn't done that yet, but I've asked him to
multiple times. I have done it
times.
At the Stratosphere.
He has. I orchestrated that first stage rushing. That yes, I orchestrated it.
A couple birthdays ago.
Yeah,
this has been
known.
And I'll
there.
Tell you what, Lisa Marie Smith, before long, I'll rush you.
Yes. Whoa, yeah. That's awesome.
The stage, I mean.
I'm blushing.
I'll go up.
I can't wait.
And I'll tell you when it'll be.
Yes.
It'll be during the Hawaiian scene.
I'm not in it.
Okay. Well, that's even better because I'll be wearing a sarong.
Oh, my God.
Me and Ryan. Me and Kelsey.
There you go.
You guys can have matching.
You're not on stage at all in that scene?
No.
I thought you were dancing that scene.
Uh-uh.
No?
I have a break. That would be 14 songs. 14. Yeah. I'm good. I'm
Girl needs a rest.
Right, I'll say it. Well. You don't have to respond to this at all, but you're a lucky woman.
I
not
am.
To be on stage during that scene.
Yeah. Oh, dun, dun, dun,
well, I really like
it's
the
not
little...
my favorite scene, and but you know,
it is.
It's my least favorite scene, but it's okay because you don't have to like it.
Yeah, because you're not
in
it.
No, I'm not
you
in
don't
it.
Have
so
to like me. I don't
that
care.
Is why I don't have. Yes, you care.
I don't have an opinion.
You
I do care.
In it.
But I do like
Lisa Marie Presley cares.
Aww.
I do Presley. I just
I like California Girls too. Actually,
what
I like to you know
that's actually the one I miss the most.
Yeah, I did like that.
Yeah.
Tell me about what your feeling is in general about the show right now. Is it, this thing as I've written is Pinup is about where it's gonna be. You're gonna drive this thing for as long as you can with its current lineup. Are you satisfied with where you are now,
you know,
artistically?
You know, it's crazy. We were talking about this a couple days ago. I think that the show, something happened 2 weeks ago. I don't know if it's in conjunction with the Best of Las Vegas award that we just won or if it's just whatever, you know, coincidence. But our numbers, our ticket sales have gone up drastically. For the past 2 weeks, we've been over half full every night. And then some nights we've been three quarters full. I get to go into the audience every night and come in from the back. So I get to see, you know, what our tickets are and like how our selling is going and stuff. And we've been really impressed, and me especially. So I think I'm pleasantly optimistic about where the show's going.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. Yeah, because I haven't seen the show since the media night when you guys came back. Then you broke. So you need to get back there. But I always say this, and Dish I know agrees with me on this, is that when a hotel gets behind and invests in entertainment, especially live entertainment, it's a good thing.
It's fantastic,
yeah. And it helps people like you, and it helps people genuine artists. And Stratosphere has been doing that with all
the shows.
Exactly.
And I applaud the Stratosphere. In some places downtown, I just hope that the main part of the strip starts following suit.
Yep. We push that.
I agree.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I absolutely agree.
Because that's what made Vegas great, is that you had a entertainer in a hotel, whether it's the Rat Pack, whether it's Wayne, whether it's Liza, whether it's any of those. Tom Jones,
Elvis.
You know, Elvis, you know, those kind of things. Like, it's like you had a face to your hotel and you had a, and it was a neat time. And I feel like, you know, it's just gotten too business-like and too commercial. And the fact that a store can rent the side of a building is pretty sad when they don't put their own artists on it. So congrats to the Strat.
Yeah.
Yes. Well, we've got to wrap it up now. But
and congrats to you.
Congrats
Thank
to Lisa
you.
Marie
well
Smith. We've been wanting to have you on the show for a long time.
Thank you for having
you know,
me. Yeah.
One time you just ran off to Disneyland.
I was in Disneyland,
You really were in Disneyland.
Mentally, so are we most of the time. So.
Not enough. Lisa Marie Smith, the singer in Pinup at the Stratosphere. Catch her at 10:30. Five nights a week. You're dark Mondays and Tuesdays.
We're dark Tuesday, Wednesday.
And check this out. It's a great live performance. If you like live stuff, this is a great show to check out. So thanks again, Lisa.
Thank you guys for having me. Yeah.